Good evening, everybody. This is I'm Pat McBride from the AAPMD, and I'm here with Dr. Steve Carstensen for his special presentation regarding his report for the ADA meeting, the Pediatric Airway Screening Task Force, and all of the good things that they have pushed forward to try and make the world better for the kids that we treat and for the families who love them. So tonight's going to be pretty action-packed. We want to make sure that everybody is kind of in on all of this. Oops, what happened here? My screen, my thing is going. There we go. So we want to make sure that we also have some great upcoming presentations in our AAPMD webinar list. We have over 100 in our library at this point, and AAPMD has 63 new members as of the 1st of January this year. So anybody who is listening who likes the AAPMD, what we're trying to do, understands that we have adjunctive arms in physical therapy and myofunctional therapy and other extensions under the umbrella of the AAPMD, know that when you join us, you join them. So we want to make sure that we want to connect to better health with myofunctional therapy and behavioral skills. That's part of the Thursday, April 22nd. And Friday, April 23rd, with the above-named people that are in the blue box for you. Very important. Please log on so that you can be part of it. Remember, this is interactive. There are no questions that you could ask either in the chat or at the end that somebody else doesn't want to hear. Nobody else will be able to see your question, so don't worry about that. Everyone is muted so Steve can show his slides and get through his presentation. And if we have time at the end, of course, we will have questions answered. And if we can't get to your question, please know that we will tabulate all of those, get them back to Steve, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. So we really welcome you all here. Obviously, we're all very excited to looking into the Collaboration Cures 2021. Steve and I are the co-education chair people for the AAPMD with Susan Maples and others from AOSH. We're putting together a blockbuster conference for you. And if all I can say to you is, why go live? Because this is the one and only place you need to be. We want you there. We want to enjoy learning with you. We want to connect with you. And we want to bring our motion forward and help the world be a better place. On the 21st, Jen Poulin's going to be on talking about the connection between pelvic floor respiratory cycle and how this impacts the neck. And strangely enough, what happens in your pelvic floor very much does affect your neck. So we're looking forward to hearing Jen on the 21st. And on the 28th, these are really interesting ladies that are coming to us to discuss the importance of neuromuscular reeducation from SLP's perspective between the pelvic floor and talking about wound care, especially post-phrenectomy. So this will be very important for all of you that deal in that world as well. So all of your webinars, if you're joined, are free, which is great. $35 a session if you are not a member. And if you add up over 100 of them in our library, that 35 bucks goes a long way. So please join the AAPMD, become part of our family, join the umbrella, and all of these things that go underneath the umbrella are yours as well.
Hey, Pat, can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
Go back to that slide with the webinars. Yeah, that one. There's way over 100 webinars there. And that means that there's a ton that you can learn. So if you're on the pathway for learning, then make a habit. Choose a time every week, or every 2 weeks, where you're going to watch one of these webinars. And if you're part of AAPMD, you can watch them all. If you look at that list and go, wow, I really want to see some of those, then join up. It's a small amount of money for that much education. But if you make that habit, choose a time every Thursday you're going to do this, then you can steadily progress your knowledge forward. And you're going to be fascinated. It's going to be like TED Talks or going on the internet. All of a sudden, you've learned a ton of things. So I can't pitch that too highly.
Thanks, Steve. So also, these are the AAPMD section leaders. It's very exciting when you're looking at putting a conference together to know that we have really incredible people that are heading up the sections. These are the spokes of the umbrella, folks. These are each of these branches that comes off the center hub is going to provide us with a pathway towards an education that we can choose to go down at one point, and then we can add other areas going forward. Each of these wonderful folks has a myriad of people that work with them and around them to make what they do even better. And we want to know to you to know that they're here for you. And we're here to provide you with an excellent education, as well as a pathway towards making your practice better and improving how you look at what you do in your own life. If you feel good about what you're doing, then you feel good about yourself, and there's nowhere but up to go. It's a really wonderful way to join underneath the umbrella and become part of a great movement. So again, we have the, you can register at the ADA.org, CE Live, and continue, go on the continuing ed here for the 22nd and the 23rd. And I'd like to introduce my good friend, longtime friend and colleague, Dr. Steve Carstensen, for you. Now, I could get all like maudlin and everything and teary and bleary, but I think I'll just read the spiel if that's okay with you, Steve, so that for those of you who don't know you as well as I do, this is a great musician, a lover of music, probably one of the greatest educators I have ever met in my life, and the co-founder of Premier Sleep Associates. And it's a dental practice that's dedicated to treating obstructive sleep apnea and snoring. And he's been doing this for a really long time, like since before people thought this was the thing to do. That tells you how on cutting edge the guy is. He, in 1996, he achieved his fellowship from the Academy of General Dentists. He's a lifelong educator, as we all well know, and he's currently the sleep education director for both Pankey Institute and Spear Education, so very lofty indeed. He's also brought more people to the AAPMD because they recognize where he is as a key opinion leader is where we need to be. He's a volunteer leader for the ADA Association, program chairman and general chairman for the annual session, and the biggest educational event ever for association sponsors. He's become a board member of the AAPMD, to which we are very proud, and he and I are having a blast for our second year as program chairmen for the AAPMD and Collaboration Cures Conference. So, Steve, if you'd like to share your slides, let's get this on the road. We can't hear you. Oh, let me go ahead and do this for you. Under here. Can you share your screen?
All right. You get really good at Zoom, and then this is not as good. So, yeah, can you see the slides now?
I can indeed.
Oh, good.
Very good.
All right. Very good, then. So, what I want to talk about today is a little bit about the whole Children's Airway Initiative from the American Dental Association. And then we have a big breakthrough to report on from this week. Last week, and one coming up in May. So we've had a big step forward, and I'm going to tell you about that tonight. I'd love to answer your questions about how this is going, how you can be involved, what it means for the future of children's airway, children's health, really, in all of healthcare. Specifically, how it's going to relate to those of us in the dental field, but really it's not going to be limited to that, and I'll tell you more about that. Because the biggest thing that we have, the biggest trouble that we are facing in all of healthcare are the people that have a problem that can be fixed, but are yet still unaware of that. So if we poll kids, if we poll families, if we poll guardians and caregivers, and we ask, are they aware of breathing issues? Are they aware of how their current growth and development might affect their airway and how they breathe, their behavior, what they can look forward to in terms of a bite or a smile? All of those things are places we can assess in the earliest days of life. Dr. Kevin Boyd, our chief pediatrician in Endeavor, tells us that we have to pay attention sometimes even before birth. And we know from Dr. Sarush Zaghi that we have to look at tissue ties and other things early on. So in fact, we have to pay attention to airway every breath of life. And the soonest in life that we can make people aware of their choices, of what might be going on, of the impact that some of these choices might have as time goes on, the better off they're going to be. So the question for you is, are you aware of how this can go on? One of our missions at the ADA to help with the Children's Airway Initiative is to raise awareness within our population of dentists about airway issues, about growth and development, how they tie together, about the lifelong impact, the four-dimensional impact of airway issues over time. So as you're here, this is the choir. These are the people that are listening to this right now that want to hear about, gosh, a task force report from the ADA. That's pretty deep, folks, and I'm proud of you for being here. Thank you. Because what we have to do is take the message out to our colleagues as well. And at ADA, we're trying to find a way to make sure that every step is going to be something that's going to be easy to communicate and make it massively useful across all of healthcare. Because it's getting rid of the unaware people, whether it be a professional, whether it be a family member, whether it be a child, whether it be a layperson, a school nurse. If we can erase the un part of unaware and help people move into the concept of, well, something may need to be looked into. We don't really know what yet. We're not sure what the next step is, but we certainly know that we have questions in our head. We aren't satisfied with where things are right now. We're not sure that the trajectory of health is on the right path. What can we do to change that? What's important about that? Well, you have to go through some steps. And I like these steps because if we help people become aware of their issues and we show them how simple it is to take the next step for testing, perhaps more questions, whatever the next step is, then we start to get them engaged. And people that go from unaware to aware might ask the magic question. And the magic question in all of service businesses, including healthcare in any stage, including dentistry, myofunctional therapy, whatever your area is, the magic question from anybody is, well, what should we do about that? Because when they ask that question, when they ask, what should we do about that, that signals that they're getting engaged in their own health or the person they're caring for's health. And when they're engaged, that opens the door for education. When we can help people learn more about what they're curious about, then they may make a purchase decision, but that's true in our practices. They may purchase services from us. They may purchase appliances. They may purchase what we have to give them. It's not a bad word. That's not a commercial thing. We're not selling widgets, of course. So don't be turned off by a purchase decision, but that's really what it is. They may purchase the next step. They may purchase the decision to go and have a sleep test done or to see the orthodontist or to visit with the myofunctional therapist and take a series of trainings. And then what happens when somebody moves from unaware to aware, becomes engaged in the process so they can learn more about how it affects them, what their choices are, all the different things that they have to choose from. They make a purchase decision by declaring that they, in fact, will do myofunctional therapy. They will do a tongue tie release. They will see the orthodontist. They will wear an appliance. They will nose breathe, whatever it is. And they start to feel the rewards that come from that well-intentioned, well-designed, well-thought-through choice. Then they become advocates. They love how they feel. And people that love how they feel, that love the changes, that love the things that they, the results from something that they purchased through education and awareness, they will tell their friends because they want everybody to feel that good. They want everybody to have those choices. They want everybody to become aware. And that's what we're going to do through the ADA's Children's Airway Initiative. We're going to turn families into advocates. they're going to go out and zealously spread the word about how much better their child is because of what they learned through the offices of knowing individuals, what they've chosen to do after being educated and be made aware, and how their child has changed because of their purchase decisions for whatever pathway seems right for them. And it's the advocacy part that we really, really want to encourage, because we can't reach everybody. We can treat a lot of people. We can screen a ton of people, but we can't reach everybody, but those families can reach everybody. It's a multiplying effect. So keep this in mind when you're helping your patients in your practice. Get them engaged by drawing them to the magic question, by then applying education only after they're engaged, after they ask you for a solution. Offer the right kinds of solution for that particular individual. And then when they're happily seeing the results of that, ask them to be advocates. Help them reach out to their communities, their circles, and learn what they've learned, do what they've done, reap the rewards that they've been rewarded with. Because it's complex out there. When you make decisions about different things, there's a lot of things to consider. There's always alternatives, because one of the alternatives to any treatment that we provide is no treatment. So they can always do that. Because it's healthcare, we frequently don't know what the full results are going to be. Now, as dentists, as restorative dentists, we're quite used to surgically removing decay and then replacing it with quite a high level of confidence. When we deal with medicine, however, there's a lot more uncertainty. We don't really know how that child's going to respond. If we have a narrow maxilla child and we're helping expand that maxilla, we don't really know what's going to happen on the other side. We have certainly our clinical wisdom to guide us, but nobody can make a certain outcome. Always we're dealing with humans, families, non-families, blended families, all kinds of interpersonal things we have to make sure we navigate through as we advocate for our children's best interest in the way we see that. Some things are more complex than others. The most important thing to keep in mind are the risk consequences. So think about that. When I have a 60-year-old in my adult practice for airway issues, and they're there with chronic medical conditions, and I talk to them about using a CPAP or using an oral appliance or going to the surgeon or some other treatment, their consequences, you know, I can know those pretty well, because by 6 decades of life, their body has kind of signaled what it's going to do is when all that physiology is disrupted over all that time. When we have a 6-year-old, however, how do we know, with the uncertainty involved, what that 6-year-old is going to be like at 60, if we can see a possible complication to their physiology at 6? How do we know what impact that's going to be? Well, we can look at our adult patients and we can see the kind of consequences that they're dealing with. And we can think that, well, that 6-year-old has certainly a level of risk of these same consequences. We can't say which ones they're going to be for any individual because it's too uncertain. But we can say that they're high risk. We can say that these children who can't breathe well are not going to be as healthy as the ones who can breathe well. We don't know what level of unhealthy. It's not, how important is that, however? What parent, given choices that they can contemplate once they're educated, once given purchase decisions for therapy, are going to say, well, I'll live with this level of consequence. Some have to, some don't. But the more people we can make aware of those choices and the risks of no treatment, the better off our community health is going to be. But we do have to keep in mind, there's a lot of things about those decisions. It's not quite clear cut. There's a lot of factors. But one factor that I think is underrepresented is the high risk of not seeing those patients. When we think of screeners have the job of separating people that might be at risk for the screener questions, screener issues, separating the people that might be at risk from the people who aren't at risk. Basically, who goes next? What happens next for those patients? And screeners are not designed to identify the disease. That's called specificity. They're designed to identify the people at risk for the question at hand. That's called sensitivity. And the people that are at high risk of having the question answered positively are the ones that should have the next test with a higher level of specificity. And so if we think about it this way, the more positives you have on a screener, the more highly sensitive your screener is. It's going to identify people at high risk of having having the disease in this case. The more people that have a negative response gives you the high specificity, because the people that don't have the disease will be weeded out if they have a lot of negative responses. In a screener like what we're talking about, what's been identified in our meeting last week is that we need a highly sensitive test as a screener, but we don't need a very high specificity. We want to catch all of the kids that might be at risk for sleep apnea, and we don't want to miss very many kids, and we don't really care what level or how much or exactly what's wrong with their airway during the screener test. Why is that? Because we don't want very many false negatives. False negatives are the ones that we do some kind of a screener, and we would find the child, we would have children who are at risk that we don't identify in our screener. So the kids that might have a disease don't show up in the screener. That would be the false negative. Because of the high risk factors, the high complication factors of a lifetime of bad breathing, the false negatives are very dangerous. Those are the ones that have a high consequence. So we want to make sure we are very highly sensitive and we have a low specificity on our initial screener. And we change it because we want those true positives to go on to treatment. And we actually want these people, the false positives and the true negatives, to go on and make sure that they're in fact that way. So if we cast the net widely and we come up with a lot of kids in the positive screener test, and we go to the next level, which might be a more thorough questionnaire like SDIS or PSQ. Might be a sleep test. We're not sure yet. What happens then is we can start to weed out the false positives. Well, family, it looked like your child might have had an airway problem, but in fact, they don't. Or the true negatives. Well, we weren't sure that your child had an airway issue, so we're not quite sure. So we went ahead and did another level of testing, and it's just another questionnaire, and it turns out we have no concerns. So now we have confidence that it's a true negative. That's very good. And the false negatives fall by the wayside. So that's excellent. But since so few children have actually been tested for sleep apnea, one of the questions we had as we were leading up to our meeting on Thursday with our statistician, one of the things that CAST, the Children's Airway Screener Task Force, has been dealing with for 2.5 years is, how do we identify what number of kids in a population might be at risk? There's no numbers. We have very unreliable data about how many kids in any given population might be at risk for sleep-related breathing disorders. Why is that? It's because the screeners that we have are in our judgment, fairly undeployable across a wide range of dental practices. There's a couple of screeners out there that are pretty close, but the best ones out there so far are either unvalidated, so we don't really know if we can trust them or not, or they're too complicated. They take too long. It's not something we can ask every dental office to do. So then we think about these kids that are going through these practices. Nobody ever asks them about airway issues because they don't have a tool to do that or training to deploy it. And those are like false negatives because we don't know if they have disease or not. And we assume they don't because they didn't bring up a problem or we didn't ask. And so it's very much like a false negative. And the false negatives are the ones that we want to avoid. Those are the ones that have a high risk consequence over a lifetime. The ones that grow up to be the 60-year-olds in my practice. So if we want to eliminate false negatives, we have to deploy a screener. And the American Dental Association realized that. They realized that back in 2017, when they passed this policy statement, they realized that back in 2018, when we had a summit meeting in Chicago. And here it is. Here's the policy statement. The policy statement is 11 points, talks about adults, talks about kids. The most important impact on community health is the second one, which is kids. And what we think we see there is in children a screening through a thorough history and clinical examination. Does a bunch of things, and it ends up with our goal being an optimal physiologic airway and breathing pattern. What does it say there about how it's going to happen? Doesn't say. What does it say there about what the diagnosis is? Doesn't say. What it allows clinicians to do is to go from a thorough history and clinical examination to the goal of an optimal physiologic airway and breathing pattern. And we get to decide how that happens. All of us, dentists, physicians, diagnosing sleep doctors, dentists who know about growth and development, all those are play a part in these children's airway development issues. Because the goal is clear. We have to have kids emerging from the growth years with an optimal physiologic airway and breathing pattern. Now, once we make families aware of this by giving them resources. They may go and look at websites. They certainly will be able to ask their kids questions, answer their queries, poll their kids better, observe their children better when they become aware of what they have to look for. All these are parts of it, and it raises the demand for the kind of therapy that we can provide, the kind of education, the kind of treatment choices, the kinds of things that we clinicians can provide with our training, with our expertise, with our perspective on what that means for a lifetime of health based on a good open airway, every breath, every night. So we need education for that, don't we? How are we going to educate ourselves? How are we going to educate our families that way? Well, there's a couple of great ones. There's plenty of good education out there. You know what? I'm not going to say that. There is good education out there. There's not enough. Why is there not enough? Because the demand isn't there yet. When we start to raise the demand in these families, when every family hears about how great some other family's child feels after having made treatment decisions based on education and awareness, when those advocates go out there and start spreading the word, every dentist is going to get those questions. Every dentist that sees a child is going to get a question about, well, is my child at risk? What should we be doing? Asking the magic questions of a dentist who's unprepared is going to put that dentist in a position of saying, oh, I need to learn more about this. And they'll learn more about this through the AAPMD. We're starting a whole track about educating. You saw the section leaders earlier on. Lauren Ballinger, our great pediatric leader, is leads Endeavor, which is a steering group advising the AAPMD on how we can be the most effective educators for children's airway. There are others out there. Dr. Barry Raphael has a fantastic education program for airway health for orthodontists and pediatric dentists and very interested other dentists. The American Dental Association, I'm very proud, is having a series of Airway Health Initiative CE courses. You've seen one banner about that. I'll show you another one later on. So we have an active education department from many different areas. ASAP Pathway with our good friends, Dr. Stacy Ochoa and Tracy Nguyen and others have an excellent way to learn about kids' airway. There's pediatric summits. There's lots of things that are happening for children's airway to train the professionals because demand is coming. Now, in 2017, the ADA passed the policy statement, and what they had me do was do a summit meeting in 2018. We had amazing leaders in children's airway at the top of the ADA headquarters building in Chicago in August of 2018. And one of those amazing leaders was Dr. Jerry Simmons. He's a physician in Houston who's worked with dentists for his entire sleep position life. He's a huge believer in collaborative care and getting healthcare professionals together. So when I held that summit meeting, Dr. Simmons came along and he said, well, you know, when we identified the task forces to move forward this initiative, the first one that we identified was to develop a new screener. And he volunteered immediately to be the chair of that task force. And so the Children's Airway Screener Task Force, or CAST, has had, I think he told me, 24 Zoom meetings over the past 2.5 years to work on this screener that's developed so far. And these are a couple of screenshots from some of these. We have amazing leaders in there. We have physicians, we have myofunctional therapists, speech and language pathologists, dentists, orthodontists, all part of a volunteer, their own time, working on developing a screener. So I'm very proud of the CAST and Dr. Simmons, a huge friend to dentistry and to helping our kids' airway. So they have come up with a 5-question seminar or a screening form so far called CGASP, or Children's General Airway Screener Protocol. And they focused on 5 different kind of areas. You can see them there: air pathway, morning conditions, how does a child wake up, not thinking about individual questions about individual behaviors, but more about categories. Because what we wanted to do is have a screener that would be available for every healthcare professional, whether they knew anything about airway or not, and make it deployable within a couple of minutes. That's key, because we can't ask busy offices to do a complex protocol for deciding whether this child needs the next level testing or not, to move them from unaware to aware. We can do that in under 2 minutes. And then when they ask the magic question, well, what should we do about that? That opens the door for education. And education can take any form the office wants. It can be a separate appointment. It can be that same appointment if it works for them. It can be a whole other office across town if they don't want to have anything to do with this except do the screening. So it makes it possible for those families, those children, to be able to be seen at whatever level they need through the brilliance of the CAST coming up with these 5 questions across these 5 different categories of what might be going wrong in that child's life because of an airway issue. So CGASP is going to be something that can be deployed in every dental office, school nurses, healthcare offices, pediatricians around the world. We're going to make this ultimately a worldwide tool. Now we're going to start in the United States. We're going to start with American Dental Association members. We have 163,000 of us. We might as well start there. But we're going to expand this because it's universal. And we're going to do it right. We're going to do it with a good validation study. So one of the things that we asked the American Dental Association for help on this, because up until Thursday, this CAST was a group of passionate volunteers. They put all their time and energy into it with no backing, and they weren't even an official part of ADA. I'm a consultant to the American Dental Association. I'm leading the Children's Airway Initiative there, but I don't have an official title either. Dr. Simmons didn't, but they did their work anyway because they believe in the kids. So CAST put together CGASP and offered it to the ADA and said, look, we've done this work. Let's see what we can do with it. And the ADA stepped right up and they said, we will provide you with an expert statistician. Dr. Alonzo Carrasco Labra, what an amazing guy. He's tons of fun. He's a periodontist, actually, but he's got a PhD in medical research or designing medical investigations or something like this. One of those kinds of degrees that makes me really happy for my career choices, because he goes on about what we can do, and I'm kind of lost with statistics. But what he's done is he has helped us see that, in fact, the CAST has put together is an excellent start. I loved it when we had these conference meetings getting ready for our meeting on Thursday, and Dr. Carrasco Labra would say things like, I'm so impressed with what you've done so far. I'm happy to be involved in this project. I'm excited about what it means. I'm also really happy I'm involved at this early stage where we haven't developed the whole screener protocol yet. We don't know every detail. We haven't tested it except for a little few pilot studies to make sure we could actually have people fill out the form. So he's advising us at the earliest levels. That's really exciting because we are going to make this validation study prove that the C-GASP is the best tool ever for helping identify kids at risk and moving them from unaware to aware. If you want to see more about what Alonzo can do, the American Dental Association has put a book together of a bunch of papers that he and his team wrote about reading and understanding evidence-based science. It's pretty cool if you like that kind of thing. So what are we going to do? Now, this is the preliminary. We think this is going to work out well, but we're not quite sure about this yet. That's one of the results of our meeting on Thursday, is Dr. Carrasco-Labra gave us some insight into this, but we've been working on this for a little while. So how it's going to work is we're going to deploy the C-GASP into some offices, and you could be one of those offices. And we want to see which kids pass the C-GASP, and that's going to be a high level of sensitivity, and we don't care much, but a low level of specificity. So because we want to rule out kids, we want to get the true false negatives that we can just follow up on later on. The kids that are positive, we think are going to go through a second level of questionnaire. Could be PSQ, pediatric sleep questionnaire. Could be a SDIS, sleep disturbance index for school age kids. So we'll do something like this, or we might refer them directly to the sleep specialist. We're not sure about that yet. The positive ones are there. We're going to see about home sleep apnea tests, because one of the big problems we have in all of sleep medicine, if that's what we're concerned about, is that children getting tested for sleep-related breathing disorders is challenging. There's not very many sleep labs out there that know about pediatrics, and the ones that do are very expensive and hard to access for the vast majority of our population. Home sleep apnea testing is becoming more common, certainly more common for adults, and so we might be part of the literature that helps establish home sleep apnea tests for kids just through this same study. So we're trying to add more than just C-GASP to the common knowledge base for sleep medicine. We're actually trying to be even more important than that. So imagine the dentist being part of that as we go forward for these little kids. So ultimately, what we want to do is make sure that the C-GASP is something that can be relied upon to deploy across any population, whether it be a high-level, highly medically involved population or a very low-level medically involved population. We can go into an underserved area and we can apply a simple screener, 2 minutes. And we can help see which kids there might need to be shepherded into a better health future by caring medical professionals of any kind. So on April 8th, last Thursday, on Zoom this time, instead of at the ADA headquarters, we had representatives from dentistry and from across some other areas. So I'm very, very happy to report these people were there. We had the AADSM, the dental sleep medicine folks, the orthodontists, the pediatric dentists, the oral surgeons, and even the Society of Dental Anesthesiologists were there. And I thought that was fantastic. We got this many different groups, along with the ADA's Council on Dental Practice and the Council on Access to Care and the Council on Evidence-Based Dentistry, all were on our Zoom call. Most of CAST was there. And so we were able to see the results of what CAST has done all this time and move it into an actual action item. Because the Council on Dental Practice, how things work at the headquarters in Chicago, is the Council on Dental Practice has to kind of approve things along the way. They see what we do and they say, well, yes, if the ADA is going to be behind this, we have to make sure protocol is established. And so far, it's all thumbs up. We like this a lot. And so why are these groups there? Think about that. Pediatric dentists, of course. Orthodontists, Of course. We're so happy that the orthodontists are thinking that they need to pay attention to screening kids too, because pediatric dentists and orthodontists are going to be our two mainstays for affecting growth and development of these children when we still can at single-digit age years. The anesthesiologists are there because they are called upon frequently for children's dental care. And one of the things that Endeavor, the steering group for AAPMD, is advising AAPMD about is caries. Because we can't forget we're dentists. We have important dental things to do. And one of those dental things is growth and development of the maxilla and mandible and the craniofacial complex. But we also have to pay attention to caries, simple sugar fires, like Dr. Boyd says, and making sure our families understand the value of good basic preventive care. The dental anesthesiologists are there because they have to put kids out to be able to get that care taken care of. And we would love to see that need go down, of course. But as long as it's still there, they want to make sure that these children are healthy so they can put them through anesthesiology correctly. So it's exciting to work together with all of these different groups to see everybody pulling on the rope in the same way. Now we're early in the process, and it's great to have them in the room. And everybody said, "Let's go. Let's make sure this happens. We're going to work together to make sure this happens. We're not going to need to have four different screeners done. We're going to have one screener." And I'm hoping, folks, that eventually, this is my dream, that we'll have a clinical guideline based on this screener. Dr. Carrasco-Labra says that we're doing the steps correctly, then we can end up with a clinical guideline. Wouldn't it be exciting if AAPD, AAO, ADA, and others all agreed on one clinical guideline for screening kids? I don't mind dreaming big. So what are the next steps? We have the five questions that we've worked on so far. We're going to refine those questions using some data that this CAST has done with some preliminary pilot studies. We're going to do another pilot study, we think, to make sure that the questions are accurate, the ones that we like anyway. Then we're going to design a validation study. What that means is that little chart I put up where we do the CGASP screener, and then we test some of the positives and some of the negatives to see if we actually had true positives or true negatives on the basis of our screener. Now, we'll continue to refine the screener until we have tested that and it shows the kind of results we want. High levels of sensitivity, low levels of specificity, so we can eliminate the false negatives. Then we have a true clinical pathway also for going forward with what we need to do. To do that, we need funding. We're going to get funding from the ADA, we think. We're going to get funding from foundations. That's my job. I'm excited to fund this. I actually have had some preliminary conversations with some different companies, and nobody thinks we're going to have any trouble getting money. But we need a little bit of money for the initial studies. And so, gosh, I couldn't be more proud of the Foundation for Airway Health for kicking in some money and some structure. And Dr. Simmons has a consortium for dental education about training dentists and physicians how to work together for airway health. And the consortium kicked in some money. So look at this. We have really great folks stepping up and kicking in some money. If you want to do that, if you want to join them, we'll take some donations for the seed money for that. We're going to need a lot more than that, so we're not going to ask every dentist out there for kicking you money. But if you want to be part of it, we'd be happy to put your name down as a supporter of this. But we're going to do funding because we're doing a big validation study. It's going to be thousands of kids. It's going to be lots of work. Why? Because we need this study to be game-changing. We need this to be part of the future of healthcare forever. It's going to spin off additional benefits for our community health from the CGASP screener. So that's a big thing. And so as we get that going, we'll be publishing these in important journals. So the world will see what we're doing here. We'll see how important it is. And like I mentioned, eventually we're going to have a clinical guideline. And those are powerful statements. Those tell dentists, physicians, school nurses, that tell us what we can do differently. And if we do this correctly, Those of the cast and I, we all believe that we're going to have the most powerful tool ever to help raise children from unaware to aware, families to understand their choices, a whole different trajectory for that, so we can decrease that high level of risk for untreated children. Because if we have every person made aware and every person in healthcare has the opportunity to make a difference, whether they go directly hands-on treatment or whether they're facilitating a family getting to the right people, or whether they're just educating families so they can go out and seek the right answers from those experts that have taken the time to train themselves on what to do, then we have the ability to impact community health in ways that dentistry has never had before. Fluoride is an amazing change in what we've been able to do. The emphasis on nutrition and getting rid of sugar so we can have more healthy kids with more healthy teeth. That's critically important. But nothing takes the place of having an open airway for a lifetime, of every breath, every night being the best breath they've ever had. So imagine the impact that we can have on that. It's just stunning in my view. And it starts with aware, going from unaware to aware. That's what we're going to do. So there's our ADACE Live. And it's coming up in April. We have Sharon Moore, who's a speech and language pathologist from Australia, joining us. We have two fantastic pediatric dentists from Dallas who are going to tell us about nasal clearing and how it works in everyday practice. And we have an ENT surgeon who's such a friend to dentistry. Dr. Zaghi is going to tell us about the myofunctional parts and the consequences part of tissue release. So it's not going to be a tissue release seminar. It's going to be, why is this important? What do you do with this? And then, because we're always interested in learning more, they have the Breathe Outlook. And Leili Naruse is heading that up. You can be part of research. And you don't have to be a researcher. You can gather data for the Breathe Outlook to see what dentists can do to make a bigger difference in everyday lives. So that's happening on April 22nd and 23rd. I hope you can join us on ADACE Live. I'm going to back up to that screen now. And Pat, we have questions, I hope.
We do. We have so many questions. I'm not sure that we'll be able to get through them. Thank you all for posting the questions. It's been kind of a fun chat on the side. Everybody kind of blasting away on their typewriters as we go. But it's super important that everybody understand that parents, you know, need something simple and easy. And there are a number of people that say, can you actually explain the questions on the CGAS questionnaire?
Well, I could, but the difficulty I have with that is we have the refinement stage coming up. Mm. And so the questions are there. We're not quite sure if the questions are stable yet. And so if you want to be part of the next pilot study, then please make yourself be known to us. Just put a note in the chat right here. We'll write them down. We'll do all of those things. And then you can be part of the next pilot study, which you get to see those. We're not publishing the CGASP yet because it's still a work in progress. Yeah, everybody's impatient for that.
Right. So please, there have been like 20 people who asked, how do I become part of the next pilot? So everybody in the chat yourselves, put down your email address and or your telephone number, where you're located, what you do, what line you're in, and so we can get you into the pilot study. Dr. Simmons is around. One of the questions that I thought was interesting had to do with concern about sleep testing for children under the age of 12, that there's not many HSTs or things out there for them. However, I did notice that Solving from Sleep Image is on the call tonight. And one of the things that many of the other industries that we deal with have to do with screening children for sleep quality. And cardiopulmonary coupling is, of course, one of those things that all of us need to have on our radar. So, you know, we can ask Dr. Carstensen what he thinks about that. It's very important. I also, Dr. Simmons is very aware of cardiopulmonary coupling and looks at it in a very different way. We can use that as a means by which we can very inexpensively screen patients, especially small children, since it's approved to very little kids.
One of the brilliant things that Dr. Simmons came up with was this concept of testing home sleep apnea tests alongside our CGAS, because we can put a lot of money, time, and energy into testing just the screener. But if we also take advantage of the structure, the protocols, the kids involved, the healthcare providers involved, we can actually change the world because we can incorporate home sleep apnea tests for little kids. It hasn't been tested very well yet. The sleep image ring is something that looks great. It's been FDA cleared down to the little kids, according to Dr. Magnus Dotter Solveig, who's on the call with us tonight. And so we're excited to use that, but it hasn't been widely deployed yet. We're going to see if we can change that, and maybe some other testers as well. We're not trying to make this a single item, but yeah, we're going to make it to where what our goal is to make moving from unaware to aware super easy, and from aware to what treatment choices do we have in front of us, cheap, easy, and fast, because that's what changes community health.
Right. And the important thing is that we're not recommending any particular modality or specific test or anything. Everybody has their own practice and demographic that they need to serve. One of the things on the side chat was, we are going to have providers, and where are the pediatricians in all of this has been a question that's been asked numerous times today. And we really need to understand that pediatricians are actually a very overburdened specialist of care providers, extremely overburdened. And when they only have 7.5 minutes for a child's well check, that's pretty crazy to try and be factoring in multi-level behavioral and sleep disorders. So we've invited them to the table, and we will continue to invite them to the table. But you, as the community of practitioners, are actually in the best position to leverage their participation, because they want the kids to be treated well, and they know that you're going to partner with them to help that happen. So, Jerry, are you on?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay, good, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thank you. Great presentation, Steve, and it's obviously an exciting time for all of us. I do want to make something very clear, because we're treading on what could be treacherous waters. The CAST, the position of the CAST, and the position of the ADA is that the diagnosis of sleep apnea is something established by a physician. And the treatment can be implemented by a dentist, an oral surgeon, an orthodontist, but it's in conjunction with the medical community. And one of the things I want to make clear is you did see sleep testing, home sleep testing, in the treatment algorithm, or not in the treatment, sorry, in the pathway to arriving at a diagnosis. What our study is geared to do is to try to determine the limits in which we can utilize home testing to take off some of the burden from the sleep lab. And we want to see if we can reliably establish a diagnosis using a home testing method to where that would alleviate the need for in-lab testing. That is not our presented protocol at this time. That is what the study is going to answer. But once it's answered, the idea is to enhance collaboration, to enhance the working with the pediatricians. The pediatricians are going to see this effort, and we don't want them to feel threatened. We don't want them to feel like the dentists are trying to take this all upon themselves. The dental community is working in two fashions. One, to help screening. What an amazing opportunity. Dentists look in the mouths of every one of their patients. So it's a great opportunity for dentists to be able to screen, identify, and then offer various treatments that can change people's lives, but not doing it independently, but doing it in a collaborative fashion with our physician colleagues. And I'm a neurologist, sleep disorder specialist, and I realize the importance of the mandible, the airway, and how it's part of dentistry and medicine. And we shouldn't be dividing strict boundaries, but a lot of times people look with our blinders. What I'm worried about in our effort is that the dental community may look at this as a way of trying to give independence amongst the dentists to be managing this on their own, and that's not the message that we're trying to get out. And I just want to make that clear. But the role of sleep testing in the home can play a valuable role to allow us to take on the burden of screening without breaking the healthcare economic system. And I think that's the important thing we have to recognize.
Yep. Yeah, it's always working together. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Everybody does what they do best. But we are expanding what dentists can do best by giving them a different tool. That's the key, because right now there's all those false negatives out there with kids that don't have anybody asking the questions. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. From a simple method to ask the questions to begin the process to arriving at a proper diagnosis.
Yeah.
So, hi, everybody. I'm on vacation, but and I love how well this went without me, and it's great. And I can't believe the number of comments in the chat room. I mean, that we're gonna, when we review this meeting, we're gonna be up for hours just looking at all the chats. There's so much excitement about this. And what we need is we need seed money to start this validation of this great screening program. And as of today, we've already have $5,000 in donation. And Steve and I are going to figure out how to raise a lot more money so we can get this validated. So, and validated by 2022. So when the ADA meets, we'll be ready to go, and this will be a screening project. And there'll be thousands and tens of thousands of kids recognized. So this is what you can do. If you want to participate, that's great. And I have a little poll that I created. And if I can find the poll, I will do that. But you can go to the Foundation for Airway. And here's a poll. You can go to the Foundation for Airway Health and hit the donate button. Fill out the information, and at the bottom of the page, there's a comment button. And in that comment button, put down, this money is going to be used for the pediatric airway screening tool, and all that money will be earmarked and segregated for just this project. We want you all to participate as testers in the future, spreading the word. This is, as Jerry said, this is a collaborative project, and we're going to really change the world. It's going to really make a difference. And if we can donate anything, it's more about the number of people who make a contribution than the amount we raise, and that's great. And I can see that a lot of you are already committed to doing that, which is great, and. Do we have that slide up, Pat? Yeah. Make sure you put it in the comment box. And do it tonight. The internet's open 24 hours, so you can do it even after this, and that's fine. And so I'm going to go back to my vacation, and you can finish up. You and Steve can finish up. Great job. This is really so exciting that I didn't hear the whole presentation, but that did you mention that all the other organizations that are on board with what we're doing?
Yep.
You know, that was the big obstacle, whether would there be the people want to have ownership with it, but everybody's on board that this is a united effort, and that the dentistry is going to have its rightful place in the in we will be the physicians of the mouth again. So great. So. Thank you for taking over and letting me enjoy my vacation.
Enjoy yourself, Howie. Just remember, once you want to donate, continuing to come along with the AAPMD. If you haven't joined already, please do so. Each one of our adjunctive areas, myofunctional therapy, physical therapy, osteopathy, integrative medicine, all of these other areas that are going under the umbrella of the AAPMD, they are spokes that all attach at the center of the umbrella. And without each and every one of you, we cannot open it. So if we want to make some real traction, we join together, we collaborate, we bring on our friends and our community people, and we create a community of care that will serve the children and serve the patients the adult patients that we serve moving forward. So final word, Steve?
No, do you have one question that you can pop up? I know there's a lot of them, but...
Oh, gosh.
Pick one.
So people were asking a lot about the pilot study. So we'll go back to that. Oops, sorry about that, guys. The webinar dog has decided to arrive. Why don't we go to somebody who said, I am in somebody who's in airway focus, administering PSQ and doing arch development as a pediatric dentist. How can they additionally use this kind of a airway type examination or questionnaire in an area that is rural as opposed to metropolitan and get people to help them?
Well, I had two conversations today. One with companies that can gather data digitally. So, and one of them is Amazon. And so Amazon Health Services and Amazon Web Services are going to be working. We have a meeting, I have two meetings this week with them to see, okay, what's up with that? And they say, well, this is exactly what we do. So imagine if you, in a rural community, you can pull up your smartphone, because that'll still be there, and take a survey and identify whether your child is at risk and should seek out, you know, resources. Now, you know, we can't spread resources to every community, but when we do are able to roll out education to every dentist everywhere, then again, like Howie said, dentists can take their place at the table and do more, and then get them to the right people for the rest of the diagnosis, whatever that might mean. To the whatever education is required so that the people can make a purchase decision of services and then become advocates for healthcare. That's just the whole goal. And that's what will happen step by step as we go along.
Well, that's amazing. Thank you so much. Anybody who has any additional questions or they want to continue to pile in that text, let us know who you are, where you are, so that this group of folks can put you on for the next beta testing. Comments, questions, everything like that really matters. Your participation matters. Your ability to touch the hearts of your colleagues and friends and bring them into this conversation and invite them to become part of this is going to change the world. You may not treat these kids yourself, but you have the ability to push somebody else across the finish line who may have it within their power to make the trajectory of a child's life completely different than the one that they walked in the door with. So thank you, Steve, and thank you everybody on the group that's doing this. Thank you all for attending tonight. We look forward to seeing you. And over the next few weeks, please stay tuned, watch your emails, and go to the AAPMD. Join if you haven't already. Come under the umbrella, join the family, and let's reach out and continue to make things better and really change the world. So thanks again, Steve. Final words?
My good friend Michael Steinberg said on here, once you start seeing this, you can't not see it. So
that's
true.
Right. That's right. So thank you guys all.
Thank you for being
here.
Have
a great evening. Thank you for coming, and we'll see you again.
All right.
Take care.
Bye now.
How do we get off the air?